From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into Inside the Parker. I'm your host, Rob Parker. And yes, we are back and we will be here every week for you through the baseball season. Of course, we hope that the baseball season will get started here in 2020, but we decided we're going to kick it off. We have Julian McWilliams, the beat writer for the Red Sox from the Boston Globe. We'll also have an edition of Foul or Fair. But first, here's Getting Robbed.
Batter up!
To lead off, it's Getting Robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
There is hope that baseball can be played this year, at least especially after three of the biggest states and their governors, New York, California, Texas, all said that they're going to be open for business in June for Major League sports. There won't be any fans, but they're welcoming Major League teams to play games. Now it's up to the Baseball Players Union and the owners to come together and figure something out. I don't expect the union to bend over and give up everything that they've worked for. I don't. I get it. They've worked hard not to have a salary cap. So I don't expect one. But I also understand the owners from the standpoint, this won't be baseball as usual. There will be no money coming from fans. There will be no parking money. There will be no concession money. There'll be no merchandising money that's sold at the stadium. That's big-time money that's going to be lost, so the money can't be the same. There has to be some happy medium. We cannot not have baseball if the states are allowing, during this pandemic, for games to be played. Come on, baseball. This is not 1994. We can't accept that. We need you guys to come to some sort of agreement that's going to work for both parties, for baseball, for the players' union, and most of all, for all the baseball fans at home dying to watch the national pastime this coming summer. July 4th would be a great day to kick off Major League Baseball. Yes, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet on July 4th would be sweet news for all of us.
Number two.
I want to pay my respects to Bob Watson, the former All-Star and former general manager of both the Astros and the Yankees, who passed last week at age 74. Bob Watson, somebody I was around, I was working in New York at the time, back in 1996 when he became the first black general manager to win a World Series with the 1996 Yankees. And he's the man who broke the long slump the Yankees had in winning a World Series by the moves he made and the team he put together. Truth be told, when you look at that Yankee dynasty, Bob Watson is the guy who was the first engineer of it. He's the one who put it together. Brian Cashman took it over from Bob Watson and continued to win. Bob Watson played 14 major league seasons, was a good ball player, and was a good general manager. When you think back to that 1996 run, I always remember the one move he made to get Graham Lloyd, the left-handed pitcher. Go look it up. Graham Lloyd was huge in that World Series, getting left-handed bats out, especially Ryan Klesko from the Braves. Yes, indeed. Without that move, who knows if the Yankees would have won that World Series. But they did. And Bob Watson should get plenty of credit. Rest in peace, Bob Watson.
Number three.
Bye-bye, Alex Bregman. Yes. That's what he told Clutch Sports. He doesn't want to be a part of LeBron James' group anymore because LeBron James's group is going to do a documentary about the Astros cheating. Wait a minute, really? You mean the one where the general manager and the manager got whacked from baseball for a year? You mean that one? Now Bregman doesn't want to be a part of it because they're going to put out the truth about what went down in that situation? How weak is that? I thought Bregman would stand in for the hot stuff, hot and heavy, the heater. And apparently not. He's not going to accept that people are going to talk about this. People are going to report on this. People are going to dissect this. Yes, you guys did it, the Houston Astros. You have to take your lumps. You can't run from everywhere. Is that what you're going to do? Anybody who talks about it or criticizes the Astros and what they did in their cheating scandal to win that World Series in 2017, really? Alex Bregman, that is a weak move.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome in Julian McWilliams, the Boston Red Sox beat writer for the Boston Globe. Julian, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, Rob? Thanks for having me, man.
Man, always a pleasure. Love your knowledge. Let's talk about the Red Sox. Couple things. First, the punishment from baseball in the scandal, the cheating scandal that wasn't on the proportion of the Houston Astros. What did the Red Sox, how did they get penalized?
Well, you know, they lost a second-round draft pick. Any other year, you might say, hey, that's not big of a deal. But if you consider that the draft has been sliced to five rounds, that's a significant loss. Keep in mind they have to do all the stuff virtually, so scouting's a lot different. So the Red Sox are in for a long kind of draft process. You know, they also fired the video coordinator, who they said had something to do with it, who was, like, I guess the person, the lead guy in charge. But, you know, Rob, that's kind of tough to believe that the manager kind of got off scot-free in this case. In this case, it was Alex Cora, because they said he didn't really know about this. So I kind of find that hard to believe, considering what he did in Houston and the depth that he went along with the other managers and, I mean, the players and everybody, et cetera, to cheat.
I agree. I just don't know how Alex Cora skated. I know he got fired before this, and they said in Boston they fired him because of his involvement in Houston. But how could you come and a video guy, really a video guy, is relaying signs to players and the manager or whatever it is, and none of that makes any sense. It's like up in New England when they said it was the ball boy letting the air out of the football and Tom Brady had nothing to do with it.
Right, right. It seems like somebody has to be a fall guy here, and it's unfortunate because this kid was, I mean, he's 30 years old. He played in their system. You know, this might tarnish him more than it would Alex Cora.
Yeah, this is a bad thing here. All right, we're going to preview the baseball season, 2020. We don't know whether we'll get it or not.
We don't know. Yeah.
If we get it in July, July 4th could be great. But we want to preview the Boston Red Sox and what we're expecting in the 2020 season, no matter what kind of season it is lengthwise. Tell me what you expect of the Red Sox. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but you tell me.
Well, you know, they expanded, or they probably would expand to 14 teams, so that might give them a little bit more room. But, I mean, I think this is a bridge year, and I think this is, you know, I know that this, we're in the middle of a pandemic, but in terms of this, the amount of games that they're going to play, this might be the best thing that's going to happen to the Red Sox in terms of, you know, keep in mind they lost Chris Sale. They lost Mookie Betts. They don't have necessarily a really number one star. I know Eduardo Rodriguez is there, but, you know, they have to fill those four and five spots in the rotation. They have zero pitching. So what they're going to do, Rob, that we've seen all the time, oh, everybody's going to go to bullpenning now. Well, you can't bullpen for a 162-game season. So having a slice of 82 games, I think, helps them help save their arms as they get ready for next year with a healthy Chris Sale.
And we know all the people that they lost. David Price was lost. What about additions
correct.
This year? Any help us out. Any additions that I don't know about?
Well, they got Alex Verdugo back in the trade. I spoke to a couple of scouts that said, but this is a kid that can play. He had back injuries last year, but he seemed to be once spring training stopped, and he said he's ready to go full throttle once they start up again. They have, you know, Xander Bogaerts, I guess, is returning. I mean, look, they're under new management, right? They're under Heim Bloom, who's a Rays guy. He came over for the Rays. We all know the Rays like being creative. Heim Bloom's a guy, unlike, say, Dave Dombrowski, he puts a lot of stock into prospects and building up those guys. He spent a lot of time in spring training on the backfield watching another kid that they got, Jeter Downs, in the Mookie Betts trade. So I would look for him to make moves and try to stack their system, much like Brian Cashman has stacked theirs, and build depth and as they move into next year.
And when I looked at the Red Sox, I basically said, with what they did is they saw what the Yankees were able to do, where they were, right, figured that they can't compete, and they threw the towel in. Am I wrong?
Right. No, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. They threw the towel in, and I think that they've looked over the years how Cashman and Granite, the Red Sox, there is something to be, you know, Dave Dombrowski should get a lot of credit for. He built that World Series champion, right? He got them to a place Ben Cherington couldn't get them to. Ben Cherington got them probably to the mountaintop, but, you know, Dave Dombrowski got him over with, you know, Price and Sale and J.D. Martinez and those guys. He put it all together. But I think now, with the way baseball is going now, there's a lot of value in prospects. The Red Sox have gotten a firsthand look at, like, look, we want to build for the long term, so, you know, why not stack them on prospects and see what we can get? But, you know, the Mookie Betts trade, that's the craziest thing to me. I don't see how you trade a guy in his prime. Pay the man, you know? It's just, that was a little crazy to me. But other than that, they're trying to build these prospects and build their system.
All right. His name is Julian McWilliams. He is the excellent beat writer for the Boston Red Sox, for the Boston Globe. Thanks for joining the podcast, Julian. Always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. All right, Anthony, what do you got for me today?
All right, Rod, there have now been 9 seasons in MLB history that have been temporarily shut down, be it for war or labor strife or now global pandemics. Now, should the 2020 season be played, it will certainly look like nothing we have ever seen before. The last time a season was shortened was 1995, when the player strike from the previous season spilled over in April of the following year. Now, normally I'd be parsing through some advanced metric trying to make Rob's head spin right now, but today I want to shine a quick light on one of the most insane seasons from that year, the 95 campaign of Indians outfielder Albert Bell. Now, that year, Bell hit .317 with a .1091 OPS for the AL champion Indians. He became the only player in MLB history, still, by the way, to hit 50 home runs and 50 doubles in the same season, and he did it in a season that lasted only 144 games. He led the AL in home runs, doubles, runs, slugging percentage, and total bases. But, of course, the cantankerous Bell did himself no favors with the media, Rob, I'm sure you can attest, and it cost him the MVP that season to Boston's Mo Vaughn, who put up inferior numbers across the board, yet walked away with the hardware. Now, with a shortened schedule in 2020, who knows what extremes could possibly happen.
All right, Anthony, for the first time, I'm buying what you're selling, my man, Anthony Masterson.
Hey, what's that? That ball is...
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
Ah!
Or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
All right, let's welcome in J.R. Gamble from the Shadow League. And Major League Baseball is proposing some health and safety regulations that will stop players from getting close at all. Mm-hmm. J.R., is it fair or foul?
These new health regulations are foul.
That is a foul ball.
I understand the caution that the government, pro sports, and health officials are taking, Rob, without fans. That's cool. But trust, I was watching Korean baseball all week last week, and it isn't the same without the roar of the crowd. I thought I was at a golf tournament, actually. I was like, where's Tiger Woods? It's already bad enough. Big crowd noise, disadjusting. Korean baseball, they had a five-person cheering section. As you said, back when your hair, before your hair started to gray. No way, no how. But to eliminate hugs and high fives and Gatorade jugs from the dugout and even spitting and sunflower seeds, it seems like an unreachable goal to me. For one, baseball celebrations that involve players touching and standing less than 6 feet apart, well, that's a selling point of excitement for the game that most casual fans already consider more boring than the other major sports. Can't take that away. The celebrations and the energy and the camaraderie following a home run or a great play is everything. And a great contrast, what, to the methodical nature of baseball and waiting around that it entails. If this is just a money grab, MLB, then say so. Because trying to sell it as baseball isn't going to work after a couple games. It'll really be like watching paint dry. And MLB doesn't need that right now.
And Dusty Baker shouldn't be happy because he invented the high five.
Take out the papers in the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
All right, now that the Inside the Parker podcast is back and we're going weekly all the way through the baseball season. Hopefully that day we get started the baseball season in 2020. But we'll be here for you every week, and we also want to hear from you. Trash Talking Twitter is officially open, so you hit me up on my Twitter, at RobParkerFS1. Trash anyone, anything in Major League Baseball. The best tweet that we read on the air will have a chance to win a baseball cap from New Era. That's right. So you want to join in my Twitter, at RobParkerFS1, and trash anyone, anything in baseball, and you could be a winner.
Don't know that.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
One team that'll get a break when the baseball season does start, if it does start in 2020, is no doubt the Houston Astros. Phil Sanchez from Wish TV in Indianapolis has his take.
Yeah, hey, Rob. So when the baseball season does finally get going, the Houston Astros will no doubt benefit the most from the changes. It might feel like forever ago, but we all know the team came under fire earlier this spring, of course, for using technology to steal signs during the 2017-2018 seasons, with the team winning the World Series back in 2018. Now, fast forward to this spring, pre-pandemic, and baseball fans obviously not pleased. The team was booed in the early games of spring training, and if you searched Astros on social media, you were immediately transported to a cesspool of negativity. But after a worldwide pandemic forcing the season to shut down, Rob, a cheating scandal doesn't really sound too bad. So once the season does get rolling again, because it will happen, there will be no fans in the stands, no boos filling the ballpark, and probably a lot fewer reporters asking the Astros about using cameras and garbage cans to steal signs. So life may have changed a lot since the news of the scandal first broke, Rob, but for some perspective, it was such a big deal that it's actually going to be the focus of a new documentary being produced by the one and only LeBron James. The name of that documentary, Rob? Sign language.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Baseball songs are better. In fact, I don't even know of any NBA and NFL songs. When we go to the ballpark, everybody knows. They don't have to pass out a sheet to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We all know it. And when other people sing about the game, they're great songs that people love. Come on, right now, join in. Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
The Wiz Kids had won it. Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball,
Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey and the Duke.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.